This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to find the work you want. Have you ever seen a coworker get fired and then go on to get hired for a great job? Our guest today says the secret to success in the workplace isn't a well-placed in-law. Instead, you need to take risks and accept the failure that might follow. Here to talk about why you need to fail in your own career is Dan Cumberland. He's the host of the Meaning Movement podcast. He also writes a blog about how to find your passion, calling, and life's work. Dan joins us today from Seattle, Washington. Well, Dan, let's get right into it. You say that in order to succeed, you got to fail. But aren't the best people, or rather the people with the best careers, those who avoid failure altogether?
I love that question. And I think that that's the story that probably a lot of people would like you to believe, that behind the great careers, there's a smooth, straight line from the day where they were born until doing whatever they're doing now and having massive success. But the truth is that I really believe behind every great career, there will be failures, that failures are a necessary part of the process of finding the work that you love, of doing work that matters and work that you believe in.
Well, Dan, how does failure help a career?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to what you said in the intro there about risk, that you have to be open to the possibility of failure. If you're closed off to say that no matter what, I am not going to get anywhere near, not even in the arena of failure, then you won't be bringing enough of yourself to the table. You won't be taking enough creative risks. You won't be taking the steps, leading your workplace in the way that would creates change, that separates you from peers, that allows you to get those you know, the things on your resume that you're most proud of. Typically are the things that you took a risk to create, to be a part of, and to took the initiative on. And so I'm not here to advocate saying you need to get out there and you know, lose your job by any means. I think that there's, you know, failure should, you know, there should be some risk mitigation here. That's a part of this conversation. You don't take the stupid risks, but that there should be some amount of risk and some possibility of failure that you're confronting on at least a weekly basis, if not more often than that.
Let's talk about how to manage the risk, but I do want to push back a bit, because I know there's a listener or two out there who are thinking, okay, I went to my high school reunion. I heard about this person or that person and the wildly successful career they've mm-hmm. had. And yeah. I never heard about the setbacks, the failures.
Yeah.
Help me understand, Dan, a listener might say, how uh-huh. can somebody who's had a career like that, did they have failures? And if so, why aren't they talking about them?
Yeah, totally. Great question. I think that what we need to separate here is catastrophic. I lost my job failure because I just, you know, broke company policy, did something for a client I shouldn't have done, or just been irresponsible. That's not the kind of failure that we're talking about here. But the kind of failure that you would see if you dug into that person's life, if they've been really successful, if they've excelled, is that they've created a mode of operation for themselves when they've been able to bring what they want to bring, the vision that they have to the table in a way that allows the possibility that couldn't come to fruition. So that might look like a project, an idea that they had, and they could have just sat on it in the meeting and taken the easy way out by keeping their creative ideas to themselves, to change company culture, to change company policy, whatever it might be. They could have just taken the easy way out and just done their job description and nothing more. But the truth is, behind those that excel, there's those moments when they said, you know, in this meeting, it's not the easy thing to do for me to bring up this idea that goes against what, you know, we typically do around here, but I'm going to do it because I believe in it. And if everyone else at this meeting thinks it's a horrible idea, that's going to feel really bad. And that might feel like a failure. And I might have to sit on that and process that for weeks to come. But by bringing it up, that's that moment of risk that we're talking about here, that where they're risking that failure that could come from that moment of risk.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up that example, because I do think that a listener might believe when you talk about failures, that catastrophic failure, you did something wrong, you broke a policy or, but it sounds like what you're talking about are the ways we may self-censor ourselves. We have ideas, we have suggestions, we're in that meeting as you described it, and we're worried about the reaction of others. And, tell us more about why it's important to put out ideas that people might disagree with and how that's going to help you in your career. And I also obviously want to talk about job search as well and how this is going to help people find their next position.
Yeah. I think it's important. I think a good way to answer that is to talk about fear, that there's different kinds of fear that it can cause us to shut down. So there's the fear of the terminal failure, and to use a physical kind of analogy here, like that's the fear when you're standing next to an open flame that tells you not to put your hand in that flame. That's a really helpful fear. But then there's that other self-censoring fear that I think is that you named here, that is really important for us to pay attention to. Because when we're bringing something to the table that we believe in, there's desire there. And we're always afraid of the things that we desire most not coming to fruition. And so the default reaction for a lot of us is to take the safe route, which is to not even bring those desires to the table, the desires to show up differently, to lead in a different way, or whatever the case may be. But the truth is that through that fear, through facing that that desire and that possibility of failure, that's where you get to become more of the person that you were made to be, more of your I believe your true essence comes out in that, and people respond to that. So I really want to think about fear as a force of transformation in our lives. It points us to those places where the next iteration, where the growth edge of us personally and, you know, and professionally should be. So it fear, you know, it points to those places of transformation. It reveals our desire, who we want to become. It also tells us stories. And I think that's also an important part to note about fear, is that behind those fears, there's often a story to be told. And if your fear is overwhelming you, if that self-censoring is, you know, off the charts, then I think it's important to step back and think about, why do I have such a bias towards self-censoring? And what is the story that I'm telling about myself, about showing up differently, that's bolstering this fear keeping us.
Well, let's explore that question, Dan. Mm-hmm. So when a listener asks her or himself, why is this fear holding me back? How are the answers going to help them both in their career and later in a job search?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, so when you're asking those questions about those fears, to look at those stories, and what are those stories? And a lot of this, I think, you know, comes psychologically back to formative years and to ways that we've taken risks in the past and things have not gone well, and that story is being retold subconsciously, right? We're not actively telling ourselves this story, but our subconscious has a way of bringing these back to light. And so what happens then is, as you begin to dig into those fears and sit with those fears and ask questions about those fears, and you start to explore what are these stories, by telling those stories, by making that connection that I'm afraid of speaking up because in high school, I was in this class, and every time I brought up my idea, my teacher just shut me down. And this is just an example, of course, not to speak negatively about teachers, because teachers are amazing. But because of that teacher had a lot of weight in my life. And so that shutting me down has caused me to, one of the micro stories that reinforces the idea that I shouldn't speak up, that speaking up is bad, that when you show up, you'll get punished for it.
And what do you do with that information, Dan? You ask yourself that question. You surface that example. There are probably others that will bubble up. How do you act on that information in the workplace, and then later in the job search?
Yeah, yeah. So so what you begin to do is when you encounter, so once you've made that link that this fear has something to do with that experience, then the next time you feel that fear, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to run away from it, but to note, okay, this fear is telling me I need to be quiet. I need to sit on my hands. I need to not show up. Instead, you could say, okay, thank you, fear, for trying to protect me. Your fear is helpful. Your fear is trying to protect you. Your fear is doing good things for you. But instead of listening, instead of defaulting to what the fear is telling you to do, you push into it and you show up. You raise your hand and say, I have an idea. I have something I want to try. I like a great analogy here is scary movies, monster movies. I don't watch a lot of scary movies. My wife is, in particular, is much, much less keen to watch them with me. And I like to watch movies with my wife. But some of the scariest movies, I think of M. Night Shyamalan's, some of his movies, which I loved back, you know, in my early career. The scariest moments in those movies is when there's a monster, there's something right off screen you don't see, but the characters in the movie can see it. And it's terrifying. It's the most poignant moments in these movies. And then this thing happens when you actually see what the monster looks like, and it's not actually all that scary. It's kind of goofy looking, or the special effects aren't actually all that good. And that's the same thing that happens with your fear psychologically. You think that if I raise my hand in this meeting and I show up in that way, this fear I have of doing that is so big that the fear is disproportional to the actual activity and the results that can come from it. And so by taking that story and showing up differently, saying, I'm going to push into this fear. I'm going to do the thing that I'm scared of doing just this one time, just to try it a little bit. You find that good things can come from it.
And what happens, Dan, when you raise your hand at that meeting and it's 15 years after high school, it's not a teacher this time, but the manager yeah. or perhaps a peer dismisses your idea. How do you recommend a listener manage that?
And yeah, great. Yeah. It's disappointing and it can hurt, right? Especially if it's something that you really believed in, especially if it took a lot of energy to present that idea, to show up in that way, to open yourself to that vulnerability. And so again, I think the to circle back to, so how can I process this story? So I think writing about your feelings, getting them out on paper, helping separate the action that you took, which is a courageous and bold action, from the result. That you took an action that was within your control and someone responded to you in a way that was outside of your control. And the two don't necessarily correlate. So that next time when you're going into that space and you're feeling that fear and you're deciding to show up differently, you can again say, I'm not going to show up in the same, like I'm going to show up in a different way than my default. And this is going to be risky, but I can handle that risk. And I think if it's heavier, if it's bigger, if it's more than you can bear, I think that's when you should, you know, you should look to journal about it, tell friends about it, talk about it. The more you interact with that story, even showing up in that meeting and having your manager shut you down or whatever it might be, the more power you can have. And then I think if your manager is continually doing that, I think you might need to like bring up, you know, that your manager might not be managing you in the way that you want to be managed.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, Dan. And when we come back, I want to talk about job search and how to talk about failure when you're meeting with hiring managers and potential employers, and describe that experience on your application materials as well. So stay with us. When we come back, Dan Cumberland will continue to share his advice on why you need to fail in your career. Our guest today not only has terrific advice to share, he's also the host of an excellent podcast, the Meaning Movement Podcast. Dan's show is one of more than 100 programs featured in our third annual MaxList Guide to Top Career Podcasts. And you can get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. You'll find an easy-to-read list of the top podcasts about work and job search. And we also tell you what makes each program special and how it can help your career. But without our guide, finding these shows can be hard. That's because Apple Podcasts has more than 750,000 programs in the United States, and only a fraction of these shows appear on the Apple Podcast charts. Unless you already know about a program, you might never discover it. Don't miss out on a podcast that can help you find your next job. go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. It's free. Many of these show hosts have been guests on this program. Discover for yourself why I invited them to share their job hunting advice with you. Get your copy today of Top Career Podcasts of 2019. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. And now, let's get back to this podcast. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Dan Cumberland. He's the host of the Meaning Movement podcast. And Dan, before the break, we were talking about why you need to fail in your career. And you gave examples of different kinds of failure. And I'm glad you made the point that often when people think about failure, they think of a catastrophic event. And what you're talking about are experiments, calculated yeah. risks that are going to help people grow professionally. But they will result in occasional setbacks. And sometimes you might even get fired, if not, again, not for cause, but because you perhaps had a disagreement with the manager. Let's talk about how to talk about failure during a job search. When you're yeah. meeting with a hiring manager, for example, Dan, and let's go straight to the dark place. You were fired from your last position. It wasn't for cause, but maybe there was a disagreement between you and your manager. What yep. do you recommend people say about that failure?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like you're saying, it's not about cause. It wasn't about, you know, breaking company policy, doing something inappropriate, but it was about those, you know, maybe disagreements and maybe disagreements in vision. And I'd say what you should do is you should own it. You should say, this is, you know, from my perspective, I got let go because of a misalignment of what I thought what I felt like was required for my job and where I felt like my team needed to go. And the leadership didn't feel that way. And we couldn't come to consensus on that. And I think just to own it as, you know, you're bringing something to the table. And if that's not, you know, that's not what your past employer wanted, that might be what your future employer wants. And if your future employer doesn't want that, then they should know ahead of time because it's not going to result in a good fit for you.
And Dan, do you recommend that people volunteer this information, or is this something you should provide when asked?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't lead the interview by saying, "Hey, I just want you all to know why I got right. let go." But if asked, I think if asked, you know, why did you leave your last position, or why were you let go? If that's known information, that you should be very open about that and say, you know, and also I think in that is to own if there are places where I think parts of the experience that you would have done differently, you know, where maybe you didn't show up in exactly the right ways, or, you know, maybe you responded, you know, not inappropriately by the book inappropriately, but like, you know, maybe you were too terse with your manager when shut down or whatever it might be, like to own some of those things. And I think that's important because, you know, that someone, you know, they might call your manager and talk to their manager about you. And so you want to make sure that the story you're telling first is true. Second, represents you in what you want to do and where you want to go professionally. But then third, you know, that it aligns with the story that they're going to hear from your past coworkers.
All right. In your experience, Dan, how open are hiring managers to bringing people on board who have these kinds of failures? Again, we're not talking about being fired for cause, but there was yeah. a disagreement about direction or approach.
It's hard to say, you know, specific cases, but I'd say a good hiring manager is going to hire for alignment. And if they see in you the capacity to take calculated risks and to lead, then that's something that they're going to respond to. And so, you know, I'd say, you know, this is, and again, I don't have data on this. I do think it'd be interesting to find that. But what I do know is that, if a hiring manager is looking for a specific person, with a specific capacity, and that can show up in these moments of difficulty, in these moments of risk potentially of failure.
And when talking about a failure with a hiring manager or others in an interview, are there things you recommend a candidate never say about those experiences?
Yeah, I think it's good to, you want to talk about them with as positive of language as possible. But again, being truthful about it. And I think that, I think words like, a misalignment of vision is a good way to say that I was trying to bring something to the table that the management was not interested in having is a lot better than saying, yeah, I failed and couldn't make it work. So to have more nuanced language to what you were trying to do in that job, in that position, in that role that didn't work, I think is really good. I think, to think about the positive, positive spins while still being truthful is an important part of how to talk about that.
What do you find matters most to a hiring manager who's discussing a past failure with a candidate or even a dismissal?
I think what I find that matters most is honesty, ownership, and then character. I think those are the three that you can speak honestly and openly about the experience. So you're not covering up or avoiding it. Openness that it's not something that you're afraid to talk about, but then that your character shows in two ways. One is that you're able to own your mistake and say if it was a mistake, say that this is my role. I guess I wouldn't say mistake. We're not talking about mistakes here. We're talking about own how you were a part of what happened, how you had a role in what happened. It wasn't something that happened to you. You were an agent. You made choices, and those choices resulted in the things that that the results that came. But then through that, they get to see your character. They see that you're a person that can take ownership for their choices. But not only that, but you're the kind of person that can take risks and can show up in ways that sometimes even in the midst of tension or up against opposition.
I think that's terrific advice. It is hard to do that, isn't it, Dan? To be that yes. Frank, and how do you recommend people prepare to have that conversation with a hiring manager?
Yeah, I think preparatory practice interviews are helpful. I think especially if your past workplace was and your departure from that workplace was a particularly poignant experience. I think that it's really good to talk about that and to get practice talking about that. And there's coaches that can help you with that. Also, just having conversations with friends about it if it's particularly loaded emotionally. Take that to a therapist, to journal about it, meditate on it, to let that get into that experience so that when you're sitting in an interview and someone asks you about that experience, you're not finding the words for the very first time to put words to what happened. You've had practice putting words around it.
I think that kind of practice is so helpful. Yeah. I can imagine there's a listener or two out there who's thinking, okay, failure, sure, I'm sure you can get rewarded for that in some fields, perhaps technology or in the private sector. But in my world, let's say, for example, government, failure never gets rewarded. And I need a single government out. But I'm sure there are other sectors where people say that's not how our world works. What would you say to a listener like that, Dan?
Yeah, that is tough. I do think that there are cultures that work cultures that may be less open to creativity, less open to leadership. And I would ask, what is it that you're trying to bring to the table, and where do you want to go in your career? And if you're in a space, a workplace that I would venture to say that it wouldn't even go across full industries. I wouldn't say that there's full industries that don't allow for failure and for leadership.
I would agree too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say that if what you are trying to bring to the table isn't welcome, then it might be, worth considering, is there a lateral move to another department, to another office, to another branch, to another organization that would welcome that growth. Because when you're able to bring, when you're able to risk, when you're able to fail and do it in a way that's supported and positive, that's when work is really fun. That's when you get to be, you know, you get to grow, you get to stretch, you get to become the person that, like I already said, like that you're meant to be in your job. I love that. Seth Godin, you know, a great author, writes around entrepreneurship and marketing and things like that, but also a lot about leadership. In one of his books, he said that the essence of leadership is being aware of your fear. He says it won't go away, but awareness is that key to making progress. And that, so that leadership is about fear, which means that leadership is about opening yourself up to that possibility of failure. So if you can't lead in your current environment, then I would question whether that current environment is a good fit for you. And maybe that next step for you, that fear or failure that you need to face is the fear of making a change to another work environment and finding that that next step for yourself.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Dan. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Yeah, so I have a course called The Calling Course. It's all about helping people figure out what to do with their lives, helping you think through what's next and what those next steps are. And I have just a free mini course called 5 Clues to Your Calling that helps just walk you through 5 simple exercises, thinking about what is it that you have to give and what's next. And you can find that at thecallingcourse.com/maxlist.
Well, terrific. And I know people can learn more about you, your podcast, and your blog by visiting themeaningmovement.com. Dan, you've shared a lot of great tips with us today. What's the one thing you want a listener to remember about why you need to fail in your career?
Yeah, the one thing is that the possibility of failure is necessary for growth in order for you to be the person that you're made to be.
Would you like to hear more from Dan? He hosts a terrific podcast. It's called The Meaning Movement, and you can find it and dozens of other shows in our new guide, The Top Career Podcast of 2019. Get your copy today. It's free. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. Again, that's maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. On our next show, our guest will be Margaret Roberts. She runs a career services center at the University of the Pacific. Margaret says parents can be a huge asset to children looking for work after college graduation, but parents can harm a new grad's prospects too. Join us next Wednesday when Margaret and I talk about how parents can help or hurt a new grad's job search. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.